Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. It is April 16th, 2016. Well, today's show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the state Republican convention tomorrow. I got several emails on that questioning why I was not attending as a alternate delegate, but I'm going to make that very brief because today we got a lot to cover. Number one, we're going to talk very briefly about Obama and our Obama, our buddy Obama, who cares about us so much, and Hillary, and the tap dance that they are doing in rhetoric relative to the actualities of their criminal fraud, literally criminal fraud, their, shall we say, untruths in front of the camera. Concerning several outfits, and this is prompted by Obama's interview, and Obama's interview with Chris Wallace, this was last Sunday, Fox News, kind of a telling interview. I think Chris could have been a little tougher on him. I thought he was deferential, but that's fine, because one thing really did emerge, and that is Obama said, and he said it like six times, you should really watch it, that he guarantees that Hillary is going to be treated like anybody else under the law, and that anybody that is involved with the Justice Department investigation will be treated just like anybody else under the law, and that is the way it has been during the course of his administration. We're going to spend just a minute talking about that. And then I have one little tidbit for you on Obamacare. Next week's show, I'm going to go into a lot more depth because Obamacare is in serious trouble, folks. The insurers are in serious trouble. The system is in serious trouble. The finances are in serious trouble, which means our pocketbooks are in serious trouble. That's where it gets financed. And it really needs to be delved into because it's kind of obliterated, shall we say. It's masked by all the political theater that's going on both in the Republican and Democratic primaries and all the associated nonsense going on with it. So next week, big show on Obamacare. It'll raise your eyebrows, I guarantee you. Not only because of what it's costing you, but because of what it's going to cost you. Okay. By the way, that tidbit, to get that out of the way, the CBO, right, Congressional Budget Office, supposedly nonpartisan, does all the studies, et cetera, et cetera. They just came out with a study a week ago. 9 million more people, there's been about 6 million so far, at the least, will lose their work-based coverage over the next 24 months. None of these people, according to the CBO study, would have lost their coverage if the law had not been enacted. So remember when the administration crows about the, their numbers vary. I think it's right now it's 24 million people, doubtful, 24 million people enrolled under Obamacare. They forget to tell you that 18 million of those are enrolled in Medicaid, i.e. they can't really get doctors or services. You are getting the bare tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Because obviously, if you subtract out the 15 million, the 6 million who have, the 9 million at minimum who will have, Obamacare is a total failure in what was sold as its primary purpose, and that is covering all those poor people who aren't covered in the United States. All right. Anyway, that's next week's show, along with a lot of other stuff on Obamacare. This week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the terror list that the United States government keeps rather ineptly, and what care, right? The Council of American Islamic relations. We've talked about them ad infinitum. They were involved in the big terror funding and terror co-conspiracy trial, which I talked about at length 2 weeks ago in my show. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. That was about the funding of by the United States government through the Agricultural Department, no less, of the Kansas City Mosque, and the funneling by that mosque to Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations, including through the auspices of CARE, NATO, and several other acronyms that I go into on that show. It's pretty fascinating how the American government under this administration, which of course is Christian and American, manages to take your tax dollars and get them in the hands of terrorists who are acting against the interests of the United States and against the interests of Israel, who, by the way, that little country, our strongest ally in the Mideast, despite Obama's, shall we say, disdain for them, has suffered over 300 terror attacks in the last 12 months. 300 terror attacks. And they're being financed by the United States government through the shadowy funneling of funds through various departments like the Department of Agriculture into these mosques and thereafter dispersed to our enemies. And we're going to talk about this is all interrelated. I mean, totally interrelated. You'll get it as we go through this show. We're going to talk about some things that are happening in California right now, kind of as a trendsetter for some other areas of the United States. If the other areas of the United States don't wake up relative to illegal immigration, terrorism, Mideast refugees, possible ISIS infiltration into that refugee stream. I'm going to give you some stats from Europe, from studies that have been over there. And, of course, we have the testimony of, let's see, the FBI director, Comey, the assistant FBI director, Clapper, the CIA, a national security agency, the former security chief for the Department of Defense. I mean, there's a list of about six people who have testified in Congress over the last 3 months saying that ISIS will infiltrate any refugees, Middle Eastern refugees, that come to the United States. A percentage of them will be ISIS or ISIS-related or Al-Qaeda. And they will be coming here with the express purpose to create terror and kill Americans. That's a given. And this has already happened in Europe. I'm going to tie that all in together for you. And then I'm going to tell you a little about what Nancy Pelosi said last week. Because when you hear this, it'll be like a bell. It'll be like a warning. It'll be like a fog bell on a ferry between Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket in pea soup fog. You'll get it. Okay, there's a big bad ship out there. These people know about it. They don't care because they're all about politics in the case of Nancy Pelosi, and they're all about ideology in the case of this administration. And we're going to go right into a Supreme Court case, which is coming up April 18th. That is 3 days from now. That is Monday. This is a huge case. It has to do with illegal immigration. It has to do with the Syrian refugees. It has to do with our El Presidente's unlawful executive order, basically granting amnesty to at least 5 million illegal immigrants, including, I might add, illegal immigrants from the Mideast who are not being tracked in this country. Case in point, the wife of that monster in San Bernardino who killed 13 and wounded another 20. I mean, it's right there for you, okay? This is not made up. This is not the sky is falling. This is not what ifs. This is and has happened, and it's going to happen with increasing frequency. But what you're really going to like about this is that one of the things that they are arguing at the Supreme Court, the Obama administration, is not only do they have the right to grant this amnesty, not only do they have the unilateral right without, against the will of the American people, without consulting Congress and in violation of the Constitution, to just wave a wand and make 5 million or more illegal aliens, shall we say, legal in this country, but they also have the right, you'll love this, under their theory of prosecutorial discretion, to award to those illegal immigrants, those illegal aliens, all the benefits of being a citizen of the United States in terms of entitlement, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare, you name it. Wait till you hear this. Okay, the study, there's been a study recently done. Each illegal immigrant costs you, or the illegal immigration costs you $2,000 a year so far. That's about to go up dramatically depending upon the outcome of the Supreme Court case. So, your hard-earned money that you work for, whether you work for $50,000 a year, in which case $2,000 is a little bit more than a week, it's actually 2 weeks worth of work, or if you make $100,000 a year, it's 1 week's worth of work, or if you make $25,000 a year, well, congratulations to you. It's like 3 or 4 weeks worth of work. Aren't you happy that you're working, busting your butt, paying your taxes to support illegal immigration? Yeah, I thought you'd be real happy. So that's going to be our show today. So let's get started, shall we? Oh, boy, I almost missed it. I'm also going to be giving you, as I promised, and this all ties in to the show and to the series that I'm doing on this terror funding by the United States of MAS, which are then converting monies and funneling them out of the country to terrorist organizations. And terrorists, I might add, right here at home. So, let's get started. If we start with the study that was done recently in Europe, a minimum of 1% of the illegal of the refugees from the Mideast that have come into Europe are jihadis, extreme Islamists, Islamic terrorists. You know, all those words our president can't seem to get out of his mouth. Now, 1%, they got about 2 million refugees over there so far, is 20,000 in the case of Europe, to put things in perspective. Let's say Obama is successful in bringing in the 10,000. Remember that they have now upped the goal to 65,000 and want to make it 250,000. Let's just say, I'm going to take the absolute best case scenario, that he is successful in bringing in the first 10,000 Mideast refugees. And let's apply that bare minimum number of 1% in the European study, which is borne out by the testimony of like five top CIA, Department of Defense, FBI folks testifying in front of Congress just over the last 90 days. And let's look at the numbers. So 10,000 Mideast refugees here, illegally, by the way. Okay, that's part of what's going on at the Supreme Court, April 18th. Those 10,000 illegal, which they are, immigrants from the Mideast, and 1% of 10,000 is what? 100 people. So 100 of those 10,000 Mideast refugees, you can count on being terrorists, coming here for one purpose, to destroy American property and kill Americans. That is the only reason they are coming and concealing themselves in the mass of refugees, which we cannot vet or track because we have no biometric data to track them against. Once again, from the testimony of the six top CIA, FBI, and Department of Defense folks who have testified in front of Congress. Now, let's take a look at the terror attacks which have happened recently. There's actually been 452 terror attacks around the world in the last 12 months, ended January 30th. As you know, there's been one almost every day since then at some place on the globe. And that includes, by the way, Belgium. So, these terror attacks, let's just take France, shall we? Somewhere between 8 and 12 people were involved in the French attack. Its planning, its coordination, its funding, and its actual perpetration. That attack killed 120 plus or minus folks of all sorts of nationalities and wounded more than 300 others. Let's take a look at the Belgium mess, where we had scores of people killed and hundreds of people injured just in the last, 45 days. That attack, funding, coordination, weapons, and perpetrators involved at least 6 people. Now, if 100 people, that is 1% of the 10,000 Middle East refugees that Obama is insisting come to this country, unvetted, for all intents and purposes, do you realize that attacks of that scope could be carried out in the United States literally by 30? That's just 30% of the 100. That still leaves another 60 terrorists running around to create like attacks. Do the math. By my math, that comes out to somewhere between 300 and 500 American dead, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 American wounded, many of them maimed for life, and then multiply that out, 2,000 or so people killed and wounded in the United States, multiply that out by all the families, friends, co-workers, etc. that affects. In fact, let's say that each of those 2,000 future Americans killed or wounded by the 100, that is 1%, of the 10,000 Middle East refugees have just 10 close friends, family, acquaintances, and co-workers. I think that's way low, but let's just say it's 10. That now affects 20,000 Americans. Let's go one step further. I talked about on my show last week the economic effect of terrorism. Death by 1,000 paper cuts. Listen to it. The cost of terrorism has been $3.3 trillion in this country since 9/11/2001. $3.3 trillion. That, by the way, does not count what Obama is trying to get done by giving 5 million illegal aliens at the minimum all the benefits of being an American citizen and entitlements, which could be as much as $46,000 per year per illegal alien. I mean, that doesn't even count, that number. All right. Now, one of the ways that the government tries to avoid these terror attacks, or says it tries to avoid these terror attacks, and this is kind of spearheaded by several intelligence agencies and the FBI, who do the best job they can, the FBI particularly, is the terror watch list. Now, listen, we've all heard stories about, your cousin, the professor, and devout Catholic who somehow got on the terror watch list. And I think that we can all agree that what the government does typically is inept. However, CARE, we're back to our friends at CARE. You know, the folks that were indicted as co-conspirators, the folks that have been called by the United Arab Emirates a terror organization, and they should know, right? Arab to Arab. CARE has now filed a lawsuit, and this was like on the 7th of April. They filed a lawsuit that basically wants to take apart and reconstruct the terrorist screening program that the FBI has worked hard to put together. Imperfect? Probably. Government? Certainly. But it's something. In fact, it's one of the few somethings out there that is working at all, given the, shall we say, the lack of concern expressed by our administration over the health, safety, and welfare of Americans and the sanctity of American values. So CARE, who loves to do this kind of stuff, CARE wants, number one, they say that they use as a plaintiff a seven-month-old baby born to a Muslim family who somehow wound up on the terror watch list. And they waive that seven-month toddler, who obviously is not a terrorist yet, they wave that toddler around as the summoning flag, shall we say, for their lawsuit. And they name some other folks too. I think there's 14 people that they name as having been grievously their lives ruined by being placed on the terror watch list. And this, by the way, also includes the no-fly list. So, they claim the terrorist screening center officials, quote, have utilized the watch list not as a tool to enhance aviation and border security, but as a bludgeon to coerce American Muslims into becoming informants or foregoing the exercise of their rights, such as the right to have an attorney present during law enforcement questioning. Okay. Dawood Walid, he's the executive director of CARE's Michigan chapter, says that 94% of the crimes in the United States which are deemed terror attacks are committed by people who are not Muslim. You know, I don't know where Dawood Walid gets his statistics. But you remember at the beginning of the show, I told you about 452 terrorist attacks around the world, and that includes the United States, a number of them, Chattanooga, San Bernardino, etc. Only two of 452 were not directly, not indirectly, directly related to Islamic extremism and Muslim terrorists. So, you know, I think CARE is, shall we say, as they usually do, stretching the truth. Or maybe they did this study on their own and their calculator didn't work. I'm not really sure. But I find it interesting that in the same 30 days that we learn that CARE has managed to coerce the Department of Homeland Security at the behest of Mr. Obama and Ms. Jarrett to delete 1,000 names from the high-risk terror suspect listing at the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, remove the files, remove the names. We now have CARE coming out trying to destroy and completely alter the terror watch list and the no-fly zone. You think this is connected, maybe? Do you remember the meeting that Obama had with Muslim leaders back there in January and December at the White House, the details of which they refused to disclose, and then all this stuff is now happening? There are no coincidences, folks. I'll let you connect those dots. All right. Enough on CARE. On CARE, who doesn't care? Other than what they want to happen. By the way, remember that CARE is directly linked to the Muslim Brotherhood And the Muslim Brotherhood is kind of the umbrella organization for all these outfits and the funding of these mosques, and is the, shall we say, principal in the sub-entities they have formed. Listen to my show 2 weeks ago. It's pretty fascinating. And there's some charts. You go down to the articles, and it's all charted out for you. In fact, there's a link to a website which has been put together, which shows you which each of these organizations are and how they interrelate with one another. I didn't do that website, but it's phenomenal. I learned more in an hour there, even with all the research I've done on it, than about anywhere else. Okay, tying right into this, you notice that CARES lawsuit didn't just say aviation and transportation. It said aviation and borders. In other words, it's a tacit admission. Think about this. A tacit admission that there are folks other than Mexicans and Central Americans flooding across the central border. And to a much lesser extent, the northern border. So that ties right into what's going on kind of in California, which is sometimes, unfortunately, a bellwether for other places in the United States. Let me give you some quick facts here, which you will just roll your eyes on. 40% of all the workers in LA County, okay, which has 10.2 million people, are working for cash and not paying taxes. They are predominantly illegal immigrants, and they are working even without a green card. Number two, 95% of warrants for murder in Los Angeles involve an illegal alien. Number three, 75%, you'll love this, 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens. Number four, over two-thirds, over 66.66%, of all the births in Los Angeles County are to illegal alien Mexicans on Medi-Cal. The births were paid entirely by taxpayers. And they are all, under current administration law, part of which is being tested on April 18th, that is literally 2 days from today, they are all anchor babies, which gives them the rights to entitlement and all sorts of other goodies that American citizens, real taxpayers, are entitled to. Here's another startling statistic. Nearly 35% of all the inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationals here illegally. How about this one? 300,000 illegal aliens in Los Angeles County are living in garages. Gee, I thought California was like environmentally aware and, you know, so into health and safety and all that kind of good stuff. They're living in garages. Here's next one for you. The FBI reports half, 50% of all gang members in Los Angeles are most likely, illegal aliens from south of the border. Nearly 60% of all occupants in HUD properties, that's properties that you and I, folks, supplement with our income and our taxes, you know, low-income housing, 60% of all the occupants of HUD properties are illegal aliens. 21 radio stations in LA are Spanish-speaking only. In LA County, 5.1 million people speak English. 3.9 million people speak Spanish. Remember, there's 10.2 million people in LA County. And by the way, if you want to reference this, all you libs who love to listen to me because you hate me, and you're shaking your head and going, oh, you know, he's pulling that stuff out of his butt and doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's right-wing, wingnut, blah, 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 check out the Los Angeles Times, because that's where it was published. Okay. That leads right. Oh, I forgot. Our friend Nancy Pelosi. The famous quartet. Nancy, Harry, Valerie, and Barry. This all ties right in. Now, just very recently, just in the last several weeks, Nancy Pelosi proposed a windfall tax on retirement income. This is like a tax on your IRA, your KEO, you know, any of your retirement benefits, your pensions. And the tax, which, by the way, adds up to a lot, this windfall tax on retirement income will also include all stock market profits. I don't think you'll get a refund, by the way, if you have a stock market loss. I'm pretty sure of that. It includes your retirement fund, your 401k, your mutual funds, all that stuff. And guess what it's for? That's right, it's for the 12 million illegal immigrants and other unemployed minorities in the United States. You betcha. Quote, this is Nancy talking. I mean, how this woman gets elected even in San Francisco is just beyond me. We need to work toward the goal of equalizing income and in our country, and at the same time limiting the amount the rich can invest. Limiting the amount the rich can invest. Obviously, she seems to think that if you have a 401k, a KEO, a mutual fund, a stock market deal, you are rich. For the sneeze. So, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna give you that quote one more time because it's just remarkable. Stock market, oh, yes, stock market windfall profit taxes could go a long way toward guaranteeing these people the standard of living they would like to have as Americans. Really? Wow. Stock market windfall profits taxes could go a long way to guarantee these people the standard of living they would like to have as Americans. In other words, if you get across our border, depending upon what the Supreme Court rules 2 days from now, then not only are we paying for your HUD housing and your anchor baby deliveries and all the entitlements for the anchor baby and the family from there on in, and your resettlement if you're from the Mideast, and welfare checks and food stamps, etc., but we are also going to pay an additional amount based on the windfall profits from our retirement and our investments. This is communism, folks. This isn't even socialism. And that money is going to go to 12 million people who are here breaking the law. Period. Breaking the law. A large percentage of them, of which, just using L.A. County as an example, don't even pay taxes into the system which is supporting them. You know, one thing that L.A. Times article did not go into is how many of those 5 million people who are conducting business without a green card, an underground economy which is not paying taxes, are also getting state and federal benefits. And I would bet that it's a large percentage, wouldn't you? You betcha. So, they got the best of all worlds, way better than American citizens. They can thrive and flourish in their underground cash economy, pay no taxes, and in addition, in the daylight, depending upon what the Supreme Court rules, which we're going to get into in a minute here in a few days, depending upon what the Supreme Court rules, they will also get checks totaling for food stamps and welfare and Medi-Cal and all this kind of stuff up to $46,000 a year of our tax money. The windfall profits tax on our investments and KEO plan and in retirement plans is over and above that. I mean, it makes you kind of want to renounce your American citizenship, fly down to Mexico City, and then come across the river as an illegal alien, doesn't it? You could do great. Let's talk about the Supreme Court case because it ties right in to everything I've been talking about tonight. So, Obama's Solicitor General, his name is Donald Verrilli, is going to be arguing this case in front of the Supreme Court on Monday. Now, I told you a little bit last week about the fact that the assassination, I'm not going to call it a death, go back and listen to my show, I believe it was February 19th, the week that Scalia was murdered, and I think you'll agree with me. But Scalia's probable assassination has left the court at 8 justices. I mean, you've heard Obama whining about it, etc. Now, in the last case, which had to do with right to work, that cut against conservative values, the Constitution, the rule of law, and you and I. And that last case, because the appeals court below the Supreme Court had ruled against the plaintiffs being teachers who did not want to fund union force dues and then have the unions use them for political purposes, which the teachers disagreed with. The appeals court said the teachers got to pay the unions. The Supreme Court deadlocked at 4-4. If you go back to my Scalia show in February, you know that in that event, there is, in fact, no ruling by the Supreme Court, and the ruling of the lower court that was appealed to the Supreme Court stands. So in that case, right to work suffered a huge blow. And that is strictly due to Scalia's death, or it would have been a 5-4 decision in favor of the plaintiffs. Now, what's interesting in this Monday case is that that sword could cut the other way. One of the things which the Supreme Court said when they said that they wanted to see this case, you know, where they granted it what's called cert, okay, certiorari. They wanted the arguments to be centered around the president's oath to faithfully uphold the laws and Constitution of the United States. That's his oath. That's his responsibility. That's a very telling command by the Supreme Court for the basis, the nucleus of this argument this coming Monday. Because it means that they are looking at this in a much bigger picture than just Obama's illegal amnesty. They're looking at as the power of the presidency, not only in immigration, but on a raft of other issues. This is a huge case, folks, which of course the media is not covering at all, which is exactly why I am, because that's what I do for you.